So we're going through a 13-week series in the Book of Psalms. We call it Summer in the Psalms. At ang aking hopes and prayers na towards the end of this series ay maging familiar tayo sa mga psalms na ating aaralin at magkaroon din po tayo ng pag-uunawa kung paano ito ipanalangin. Or how that hopefully that we can learn how to pray these psalms, especially as we go through a challenging season ng ating buhay. Kung mapapansin po ninyo, yung mga psalms na ating inaral ay halos similar sila, lalo na simula ng chapter 3 and 4 and now 5. Halos similar yung kanilang mga tema. Lahat ay nasa Psalm of Lament, na kung saan si Haring David ay may kinakaharap ng iba't ibang klase at mabibigat na sulira rin sa kanyang buhay. Kaya't ang usual na ginagawa ho niya is lumalapit po siya sa Panginoon, and thus yun yung mga inaral natin, mga psalm, at aaralin ngayong hapon na ito. And so ang Psalm 5 ay isa na namang individual lament ni David. However, ito rin po ay isinulat ni David to give us an instruction para kantahin sa public worship ng kanilang congregation. At nilagay po niya yung instruction sa superscription na kailangan sing it with wind instrument or flute. David, sa oras na ito, parang Psalm chapter 3 at saka Psalm chapter 4, ay muli may hinaharap na isang suliranin. Gaya ng Psalm chapter 4, hindi natin alam ang pinagmumula ng kanyang problema. Ngunit ang pagkakaiba nito ay may mga kaaway siya. Mga kaaway na kung saan tagalabas, hindi tagalabas. Some theologians believe ito po yung mga Israelites din na kung saan hindi gusto ang kanyang leadership at ginagawa ang lahat upang pabagsakin ang kanyang kaharian. Sa sobrang lubha ng pinsala na naidulot ng mga taong ito, ipinapanalangin na ni David sa psalm na ito, which is nakakagulat, na sana ibagsak, itaob na sila ng Panginoon. Have you those prayers sa life mo? It is nakakagulat, hindi po ba? Praying na sana, i-judge na ng Panginoon yan, itaob na ng Panginoon yan. Yan ang beauty ng Bible, ano? Kasi totoo yung mga tao na nakasulat dyan at nagsusulat. Totoo yung mga pakiramdam. Maaaring nandito kayong sinasayaan, Pastor, gusto ko yung part na yan, kung paano mag-pray para bagsakin ang aking mga kaaway. Yes and no. Okay, at ihintayin po natin na makarating tayo sa verse na yan for us to explain. Ang psalm na ito, masakit lang dito, walang nakikitang resolution sa problema ni David. Bagamat wala siyang nakikitang resolution, siya ay patuloy na nagtitiwala sa Panginoon. At inilalagay niya lahat ng kanyang buhay sa kamay ng Diyos. Kahit throughout the psalm, wala siyang nakikitang provisions of help galing sa Panginoon. Psalm 4 is what they call, which is yung last week na inaral natin, yung psalm na yon is what they call evening psalm, na kung saan nag-pray siya ng gabi. Mapapansin po natin yun sa pagwakas niya sa verse 8, na banggit ni David sa Psalm 4 chapter 8, na ang kanyang tulog, makakapagtulog siya ng manghimbing sa kalagitnaan ng suliranin. Why? Because it is the Lord who keeps him safe. Inaral po natin yun last week. Samantala, itong Psalm 5 naman is a morning psalm. It is a morning prayer psalm. Hindi po totoo yung nabanggit ko kanina, karamihan sa atin, yung na-experience ni David na kung saan makakatulog siya ng mahimbing kahit maraming problema at gigising siyang energized. Hindi po totoo karamihan sa atin yan, dahil karamihan sa atin, kapag may kinaharap tayong problema, hindi tayo makatulog. Okay? Dahil nahihirapan tayong pakalmahin yung anxious hearts natin. As a result, pag gising natin sa umaga, dala-dala pa rin natin ang konsumisyon ng kagabi. Kaya ang bigat ng umagang yon. Maybe that's you today. Maaring nagsigising ka kaninang umaga and you feel na parang hindi ko ata kaya tong araw na ito, Pastor. Kasi paggising ko palang nandun na ang problema. Hindi ko na kaya. Maybe it's because you are overwhelmed sa mga situations na nasa puso't isipan mo ngayong araw na ito. Or maybe you're thinking through things na pwedeng mangyari kahit hindi pa nangyayari. Ang kagandahan ng psalm na ito, mga kaibigan, David understands. David, like us, may mga umaga na he wakes up na magang-maga ang kanyang mga mata at sumasakit ang kanyang ulo sa kakaiyak nung gabing yun. He is just like us. May mga umaga na na-overwhelmed din siya sa mga circumstances na kanyang haharapin ng araw na yun. So how does David begin his day? How does David begin his day knowing na meron siyang problemang haharapin? Have you ever had those moments? Na pag-gising mo, alam mo may haharapin kang problema. What do you do? Well, yun ang aaralin natin sa gagawin ni David ngayong hapon na ito. Knowing that he will face the wicked who wants to destroy him, ano ang gagawin ni David? Paano niya haharapin to? Sa kalagitnaan ng matinding suliranin, hindi niya tinakbuhan ng kaaway. Hindi siya bumigay sa kanilang pangailangan. Yeah, minsan pag ganoon na lang, ay, problema ko sa opisina, hindi mo na papasok. Ako, eto na naman, magtutulog-tulugan na lang ako para hindi ko siya makausap. No? Hindi siya bumigay, hindi bumigay si David sa kahilingan nila. Hindi rin siya gumawa ng ibang solusyon na kung saan labag sa kautusan ng Diyos. In his troubles, he turned to God who listens and preserves him. Friends, in times of trouble, turn to God who listens and preserves the righteous. With this passage, meron tayong five observations on how David dealt with his day knowing na may mga challenges siyang haharapin. Number one, David prays for God's attention. Verses 1 to 3. Number 2, David acknowledges God's holiness. Verses 4 to 5. Number 3, David seeks God's righteousness. Verse 7 to 8. Number 4, David prays against the wicked. Verses 9 to 10. And number 5, David sings praises to God. Verses 11 to 12. Let us observe how David starts his day knowing na may kaharapin siyang trials and troubles sa araw na yon. Number 1, pagmulat pa lang ng mata ni David, what does he do? David prays for God's attention. Tingnan niyo yung verse 1 to 3. Give ear to my words. O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare sacrifice for you and watch. Probably hindi yung exact tone, pero nakikita niyo yung passion, yung hardship ng tone ng passage na ito. Kapag gising ni David sa umaga, he goes directly to God in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Pag gising mo sa umaga, ano yung usually na kukunin mo? You fill in the blank. Pagising naman ni David sa umaga pa lang, he goes directly to God in prayer, bagamat itong prayer na ito does not say anything about the contents of David's actual prayer. Wala kang makikita noon. Kasi ang focus ng psalmist is how he prayed. How he prayed. Verse 1, tingnan nyo. Consider my groaning. Verse 2, give attention to the sound of my cry. Ang idea po dito here is that some of David's prayers were inaudible. Yun ang nangyayari sa prayer niya or hindi maunawaan because of yung passion na nararamdaman niya. Ang panalangin niya, hindi inaudible siya. Why? Because ang panalangin niya ay nahahaluan ng hagulgol at ungol. Naalala ko nung bata pa ako, madalas ko, meron akong ate na hindi ko makasundo. Okay, marami akong ate, so mayroon isa ron na hindi ko madalas makasundo. At kapag hindi kami nagkakasundo, nagkakasakitan kami verbally and physically. And noong time na yun, mas maliit po ako. Okay, so alam niya kung sino nanalo. So from there, umiiyak po ako, hinahanap ko yung nanay o ang tatay ko, and from there, magsusumbong ako. Umiiyak ako dahil sa injustice and pain that was inflicted sa akin. Ang bata lang, ganun na mag-isip, ano? And usually, pag nakita ko ng tatay ko, sabi niya, ano nangyari sa'yo?
Ano nangyari sa tatay? Ano nangyari sa tatay? Ano nangyari sa tatay? Ano nangyari sa tatay?
Usually, the response ng tatay ko, nanay ko, ano? humahagulgol, humihikbi, at umuungol. Hindi ako maintindihan nun. Parang ganito ang prayer ni David sa Panginoon. With groaning and crying, verse 1 and 2. Inaudible. This is a prayer of a man who is devastated and desperate. He prays directly to God. He cries out that God would listen to his prayers.
God, hindi ko yung gagawin ko. Bakit ano lang kaya magawin ko?
Kung ikaw nakakarinig kay David, hindi mo maiintindihan. Pero we have those moments. Hindi po ba? Maaring hindi na niya clearly ma-put into words ang kanyang prayer because of the groaning and loud cries, pero he still prayed directly to God with confidence that God would understand, that God would sympathize, that God would hear his prayer. Friends, in this side of redemptive history, we can now directly cry out to God. Hindi na natin kailangan na magdasal pa sa mga santo. Hindi na natin kailangan mag-pray sa mga patron, kay Maria, at kung sino man mga espiritista o espirito. Walang special power si pastor. Pastor, dapat ikaw lang ang mag-pray. Ikaw ang hahawak sa ulo ng anak ko. As if there's something super spiritual pagka hinawakan yung ulo. O sino man pare. Why? Because Titus chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. Sino po yun? Si Christ Jesus. Siya lang ang mediator. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, ang sinabi dyan, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, he now serves as our high priest. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, mediating for us. Pinagpe-pray niya tayo. That's why we go to the Father through the Son. Friends, if you are hearing this, if you are now in Christ, you can call to God the Father directly in prayer sa situation mo ngayon. Maybe you are here today and you are so devastated na hindi mo na alam kung paano ipanapanalangin into words ang prayer mo dahil humahagulgul ka na yung sitwasyon mo. Friends, present your desperate pleas directly to our God kasi He hears our prayers kahit hindi mo maintindihan ang prayer mo. Kasi sometimes we just cry when we're really discouraged and hurting and hindi natin alam ang gagawin natin. We just cry and we don't even know what to pray. But here's the beauty. God still hears and the Spirit of God still knows what you need. And it's hindi to imbento nasa Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to. Hear me as I read Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God understands your cries, your silent cries. Not only does he go directly to God in prayer, but he also prays to God in great humility. Makikita niya sa verse 2. He humbly prayed to God, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. My King, my God. He approaches God as his King and his God. Although he is King, tandaan mo, hari itong nananalangin na ito. Kung kailangan niya ng counselor, ang daming counselor. Kung kailangan niya ng mga bodyguard, maraming bodyguard. Kung may kailangan ng pagkain, marami yan. Yet, he still acknowledges na isa lang siyang alipin ng ultimate king. And this is a wise move para kay David. Bakit kamo? Kasi si David is an earthly king who has limited sovereignty. He humbly goes to the ultimate king who is sovereign over all. A king who is in control sa kanyang pinagdadaanan na kabigatan. Friends, you can go directly to God. Friends, sa pinagdadaanan mo ngayon, do you think it's about time to to humble yourself before God and seek help sa King of the Universe? Or it's time to seek help to the King's people? Maybe matagal mo nang sinasaiyo yan. It's time to approach our King. He prays directly to God. He humbly asks for His help. Another thing what David does in verse 3, he prays expectantly. He prays expectantly. Verse 3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Twice binanggit po ni David dito in prayers niya about morning. Umaga. What does this tell us about David? Ito po yan. He puts God in top priority. Pag-gising pa lang niya sa umaga. I know this is Dubai. Pag-gising mo pa lang sa umaga, iba na ang priority. Nagdudumali. Look at verse 3. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. In some translation, it reads, I will order my prayers. Or sa iba naman sinasabi, I will arrange my prayers. So bakit na ginamit yung imagery na yon? Kasi ginamit naman niya, prepare sacrifice sa ESV. So anong sinasabi niya rito? Parang ang sinasabi niya, he will arrange his prayers sa Panginoon in the same way kung paano mag-arrange ang mga priest sa sacrifice sa altar. Ibig sabihin, may intentionality, well thought of. He will prioritize. Ganun ang mga priest eh. In short, he thinks through his prayers and waits with anticipation kung ano sasabihin ng Panginoon. Knowing from experience that God does answer prayers. In the morning, David goes directly to God with desperate cries because he knows he couldn't make it kung wala ang Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, ganun na ba ang level natin pag nananalangin tayo sa Panginoon? Hindi natin kayang ituloy yung umaga na yon kung hindi tayo lumapit sa Kanya. Alam ako isang bagay na hindi natin kayang umusad pag wala. Pag naiwan yung cellphone. Friends, when you wake up in the morning, where does your heart directly go? What does it prioritize? When you pray, do you pray thoughtful prayers? Or do we pray thoughtless, mindless, passionless prayers? David desperately prays for God's attention. He does this directly, humbly, orderly, and expectantly. Alam niya, sasagutin ako ng Panginoon, kaya ganito na lang ako manalangin. He is confident that he will be answered. Why? Because God, sa situation niya, because God is holy. Which is your number 2. David acknowledges God's holiness. Verses 4 to 6. Tignan niyo po yung verse 4. Nagsimula yung passage nito sa conjunction na 4. Na ang ibig sabihin po nito, yung verse 4 to 6, ang mga dahilan kung bakit ganun na lang mag-pray si David sa verse 1 to 3. Bakit siya ganun mag-pray? Kasi sa verse 4 to 6. Ano yung dahilan? Basahin po natin. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil men not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful men. Now, sino yung mga wicked people na ito? Itong mga wicked people na ito are actually rebelling against God's appointed king, which is si David. Thus, kapag, which we have learned from last week, if these evil, wicked men rebels against God's appointed king, that means they are rebelling against God. Yun yung sinasabi niya rito. They are evil because they're going against you. David knows that God is a holy God and does not tolerate sin. So, because of that, David expects na sasagutin ng Panginoon to kasi nakasalalay ang pangalan ng kabanalan niya. Panginoon, hindi mo pababayaan ang maling ito. Kikilos ka. Naalala niyo yung prayer ni Habakuk? Welcome, Lord, the tahimik. Bakit yung mga masasama ay hindi napaparusahan? Bakit pinapabe? And then God answers. And pinagsisihan niya yung sagot ng Panginoon na yon. Because God said, yung punishment ko sa Israelites na rebelde is yung Chaldeans, which is much worse sa kanila. David knows that God is a holy God. And as a holy God, He will never tolerate sin. Now, kung oobserbahan natin ang verse 4 to 6, titignan po natin, tingnan nyo, evil may not dwell with you. You hate all evildoers. You destroy who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. Pansin nyo ba yun? Medyo mabigat ang pagkakalarawan ni David sa mga rebelde at kung papaano ang tingin at pagtrato ng Panginoon sa mga mamang ito. Parang mabigat, ano? At nararapat lamang. Dahil ang Diyos ay banal at ang kanyang kabanalan demands justice. Ito ang tingin ng Panginoon at ang pagtrato ng Panginoon sa mga makakasalanan. Mga kaibigan, ang nakakalungkot lang po dito ay maraming mga mangangaral o mga Kristiyano na hindi naniniwala dito. That God hates the sin. Ang paboritong kasabihan mo ngayon sa pulpito at sa counseling is this. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but I want to revisit it again. Kasi I've kept on hearing this. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Ah, maganda yung, ano, no? Maganda yung dating. Madalas ko ding ituro ito dati. Lalo sa counseling, lalo sa pag-talking about sin. Oh, tama, galit ang Panginoon sa kasalanan, pero mahal ka niya. And instead of meditating sa aking kasalanan, na-justify ang aking kasalanan. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Pero bago po tayo maghusga sa mga kapatiran na ito yung sinasabi, kailangan po natin maunawaan na may mga pinahahawakan silang Bible verse para suportahan yon. Nandyan po yung John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. Diba? We know that. And whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. So, mahal ng Panginoon ng sinners. John 3:16. Kaya nga niya pinadaling kanyang anak. Nandiyan din yung Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Totoo po yun. May pinahahawakan. Nandiyan din po yung prodigal son sa Luke chapter 15 na kung saan tinuro ito ni Jesus Christ at pinakita na sa parable na to kapag may isang anak na nagre-rebelde, yung pagmamahal pa rin ng Panginoon nasa kanya and He awaits na ma-reconcile siya sa kanya. In the same way, God our Father loves wayward people and is willing to take back kung sino man ang magsisisi sa kasalanan. Naong kapatid, totoo po ito. Totoo po that God loves sinners. I want us to balance that sa ating pag-iisip. Tama din po that God hates sin. Tama yun. Because of sin, winasak ng kasalanan ang creation. Winasak ng kasalanan ang marriage. Winasak ng kasalanan ang society. Throughout the Bible, God is always calling people to turn away from sin. So tama rin po ito. However, bagamat tama yung dalawang nabanggit natin, may katotohanan ang kakasabihan na God loves the sinner and hates the sin. Yes, may katotohanan. Ngunit hindi po ito ang buong katotohanan. Does that make sense? Kasi hindi ito ang sinasabi ng verse 5. Tingnan niyo yung verse 5. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. God hates sinners. So verse 5. So paano mo masi-square yan? And this isn't the only place na matatagpon ito sa Bible. Psalm chapter 11 verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Psalm 11 verse 5 po yan. Ang kasalanan at ang makasalanan ay hindi po natin pwedeng i-diborsyo. Hindi natin pwedeng paghiwalayin. God sends the sinner to hell, not the sin. The sinner goes to hell because he or she sins. Or a sinner. God is a holy God and there is no way that God allows unholiness sa kanyang presence. We read scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, na kung saan ang sinabi ng mga angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Banal ang Diyos. Pero teka muna, Pastor, paano si David? Diba sinabi niya, I've entered into your presence. Teka muna. Kilala namin si David eh. Kung ang lahat ng kasamaan ay kinamumunghian at pinarurusahan ng Panginoon, ba't kasama si David sa mga hindi paparusahan? Tignan po natin yung next point, number 3. That's a good question. Why? Because David seeks God's righteousness. David seeks God's righteousness. Verse 7 to 8. But I, and this is David speaking, but I, David, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness before because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. So verse 7, mapapansin po natin na nabanggit ni David na, but I. Sa ibang translation, sinasabi nila, but as for me. Pero ako. So bakit niya ginawa yan? After giving yung description ng mga tao, mga wicked, ng mga kasasalanan, all of a sudden, he makes a stark contrast sa kanila at sa kanya. Ngunit ako. So it's a contrast. He's making this contrast between the wicked at ang sarili niya. So in short, sinasabi niya, hindi ako pareho nila. Di ba? Parang yabang naman ni David. Samantalang alam natin ang storya niya. Di ba? So, anong pagkakaiba ni David? Tingnan niyo verse 7. I will enter your house. House nino? Ng Panginoon. I will bow down and toward your holy temple in the fear of you. At paano nangyari ito? Paano siya nakapasok sa tahanan ng Diyos? Paano siya naka-worship sa banal na templo ng Panginoon? Paano siya nagkaroon ng takot sa Diyos? Samantalang wala siyang pinagkaiba sa mga taong nangharas sa kanya. Di ba si David, nangalun niya? Di ba si David, nakapatay ng tao, pinapatay yung asawa ng kanyang babae na kinuha? Di ba si David, nilasing pa niya, tapos ngayon pinagsisinungaling pa niya? Alam natin ang mali ni David, alam natin kasalanan niya. Paano nangyari ito? Paano nagkaroon ng takot sa Diyos tong mamang to? Samantalang wala namang pagkakaiba si David sa mga wicked men na binanggit niya. What's the difference? Mga kaibigan, kung totoo na walang pinagkaiba si David sa mga wicked men na ito, then wala din tayong pagkakaiba sa wicked men na ito. All of us are delighting in wickedness. All of us are evil dwells in our veins. All of us are boastful and arrogant. All of us love doing evil. All of us speak lies. All of us have murderous tendencies at saka thoughts. All of us love to deceive others. That is why the Holy God does not dwell within us. Friends, if we are like the wicked, then God abhors us. God hates us. God does not want to dwell in us. God hates us sinners and will punish us because of our sins. Ano ngayon ang ating pag-asa? Paano tayo makakapunta sa presensya ng Panginoon? Paano nakapasok si David sa kanyang presensya kung wala tayong lahat pinagkaiba? David, and here's the reason, David has entered God's presence not because he was righteous. It was because through the abundance of God's steadfast love. It was because of the abundance of His loving kindness. Nakita niyo ba sa verse na yon? It was because of the multitude of God's mercy. It's because it was God's abounding grace towards him. And so we ask the question, mga kaibigan, how can God be wrathful towards sinners like us and still be merciful to sinners like us? Kasi we are somehow saying my truth that God hates sin and loves sinners. So how do we square that? That is the question. How can God be wrathful towards sinners like us and still be merciful to sinners like us? And the answer is the cross. The cross. All of God's wrath against the arrogant, evildoer, the wicked, the liars, deceivers were poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. He was crucified in our place. And on that same cross, mercy was also extended to us. For those who humble themselves and take refuge to this glorious Savior, if you repent from your love of lying, love of arrogance, love of self-exaltation, love of everything that is not of God, turn away. Mercy of God comes if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ on the cross and what He has done na binayaran niya yung kasalanan natin. And those who God declared righteous should seek to live in righteousness. Sa mga niligtas ng Panginoon, kailangan mamuhay na para silang anak ng Diyos. At kinakailangan natin ang grasya at kapangyarihan ng Diyos para mamuhay ng maka-Diyos. Kahit na tayo ay niligtas ng Panginoon, nilagay ang Kanyang Espiritu sa atin, kailangan natin ang lakas ng Panginoon dahil habang buhay tayo, makikipagsapalaran sa kasalanan. You need God's grace. You need God's Word. You need God's Spirit. You need God's people. You cannot say, I'm a Christian and I'm a lone ranger. Ako lang mag-isa. Jam lang yan, Pastor, jam. Jesus and me. O, di ba? Pinakulpa. Hindi. You were created for relationships. It's either through an evil relationship or a godly one. If you are a Christian, God saved you for His people. That's why we love gathering together, to serve one another, to call out one another, to cry on each other's shoulders. It's not just a Friday afternoon service. It's an opportunity to express the love of God in Jesus Christ through us. Mga kaibigan, as we begin our day, at alam natin na hindi ito magiging madali, dahil sa mga taong may mga masamang intensyon sa atin, dahil sa mabigat ang suliranin natin, kailangan natin ang lakas at gabay ng Panginoon. Kailangan natin magtiwala, umangkla sa Kanya. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. If we trust the Lord with all our hearts, then we will trust His ways, not ours. As David would trust in the Lord, his way would be made straight before him. Kahit may pinagdadaanan si David, he goes to the Word. That's why kahit na natatempt na siyang lumiko, he walks straight. Why? Because of God's Word. Why? Because of God's Spirit. Why? Because God surrounds him with His people. Alam po ba ninyo kung bakit pinapanalangin ni David na gabayan siya ng Panginoon? Na i-lead siya ng Panginoon sa oras ng suliranin? Well, it's because of the wicked men of number 4. David prays against the wicked. Pastor, ito na inaantay ko eh. Verse 9, for there is no truth in their mouth. Si David to, no? He's praying against yung mga kaaway niya. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. Let me stop right there. Open grave. Alin niyo ba yung imagery na yun? During the time, wala pong sementeryo na kung saan huhukayin mo, ay yung time ginagawa nila, is na kung saan ginagawa natin ngayon, tapos ibabaon ng 9 feet o 11 feet yung bangkay at tinatabunan. Sa kanila, they use caves. Caves, ilalagay po yung bangkay doon at iro-roll. Naalala niyo si Lazarus, after nang namatay siya ng 3 days, tumating si Jesus Christ, roll the stone, but Master, mabaho na yung bangkay. So, look at the imagery there. Kung paano raw magsalita mga mamang ito, they speak as if it was an open grave. Masangsang. Hindi dahil sila may halitosis. It's an imagery to say kapag nagsalita ang mga mamang ito, parang kamatayan. Ganong katindi ang mga mamang ito. They flatter with their tongue. Nambobola pa. Para makuha ang kanilang kagustuhan. Verse 9 gives us four statements of the hatred of David's enemies towards God. Four statements. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Hindi mo sila makasama, mga sinungaling. Second, their inward part is destruction itself. Third, their throat is open grave. And fourth, they flatter with their tongue. Halos parehas din ang sinabi ni Paul yan sa Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Na kung saan binanggit ni Paul na lahat tayo ay nasa ilalim ng kapangyarihan ng kasalanan at apart from the grace of Christ, this is where we all would be. Our mouths speak from the overflow of our hearts, and with wicked hearts, ungenerated hearts, anong ma-expect mo na lalabas sa bibig mo? Ito yung passage na ginamit kanina ni Eric when he prayed the prayer of confession sa Romans. Kung ang puso natin ay hindi binago ng Panginoon, huwag mo nang asahan na may lalabas na maganda dyan. Because the very heart of the wicked person loves wicked things. At kung anong lalabas, yun din yun. That's why ang pag-asa ng mga tao na may ganito is si Kristo. They need to be regenerated. In response, tignan niyo kung paano ni David pinag-pray ang kanyang mga kaaway. Una, pinaliwanag niya kung anong klase mga tao ito. Ngayon, tignan mo kung paano siya mag-pray. Lord, patawarin mo sila. Lord, paano magbago sila? Anong prayer? Prayer, verse 10. Make them bear their guilt. Oh God, let them fall by their own counsels. Yung mga maling desisyon nila, naway bumagsak sila sa mga palpak na desisyon nila. Because of the abundance of their transgression, cast them out. Borderline, patayin mo sila. For they have rebelled against you. Again, it's not even personal. His anger is righteous because their offense is with God. Kung mapapansin natin, parang harsh eh, di ba? Ganyan ba ang Kristiyano dapat? Ang prayer ni David, pero hindi po necessarily, and this will shock us, hindi po necessarily mali itong panalangin na to kung para sa mga kaaway ng Diyos. Now, teka muna, kailangan nyo ipaliwanag yan, Pastor. Kung nauunawaan natin na ang Diyos ay isang righteous God, at kapag nakikita natin na ang kasamaan ang nagahari sa mundo, ang kasamaan ang nagahari sa opisina mo, kasamaan ang nagahari sa tahanan mo, kasamaan ang nagahari sa mga kamag-anak mo, at walang tamang hustisya na pinapataw o walang hustisya, we should have a longing sa ating puso for the Lord to return and make all things right. Hindi ba? That should be our prayer. Lord, make things right. That's his prayer. Lord, make things right. Judge. Ang ganyang halimbawa na prayer ay hindi bago. Nasa Psalm 96 din po yan and Psalm 98. And yung tunog ng prayer niyan is like this. Your kingdom come. Na kung saan when the Lord comes, his kingdom will judge the world. He will judge the world. Hindi lang po Old Testament prayer yan. New Testament prayer din po yan. Sa Revelation chapter 6 verse 10. Nung pinahihirapan ang mga saints, and they cried out to God, they are martyrs, eto sinabi nila, oh how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood with those who are on the earth? O hanggang kailan, Panginoon, na makikita namin yung mga injustices na ito na pinarurusan, Lord, pumunta ka na para husgahan mo na sila. And God answers them with what's essentially important. Ang sagot sa kanilang Panginoon, wait. Marami pang kailangan mga martir na mahirapan bago ako dumating. Hindi ba dapat pinipray natin yon that the Lord would come? Judge the injustices na nangyayari? Teka, Pastor, nalito naman ako. So, ang sinasabi po ba ninyo, pwede tayong mag-pray na bigatan ng Panginoon ang kamay niya sa mga chismosa na chinichismis ako? sa mga hindi nagbabayad sa akin? Kailangan ba na kung saan yung mga tao na sinisiraan ako? Na sinasamantala ako? Nabigatan ng kamay? Yung ba yun, Pastor? Gusto ko yan. Bagamat pwede nating ipanalangin for God's justice to happen in an unjust situation, dapat maging maingat po tayo in such prayers. Na ito ang caution ko. Bakit kailangan natin mag-ingat? Kasi po, kailangan natin i-consider ang unique position ni David nung time na yan in the redemptive history. Old Testament po ito. Siya ang hari ng Israel. At kung sino mang ang magrebelde sa inappoint ng Panginoon na hari ay nagre-rebelde sa Panginoon. Yung panahon na ito, namumuhay sila na ang batas ay ang Diyos. Diyos ang batas ng lugar. Ang magrebelde sa Panginoon ay mapaparusahan. Yun po yung kalakaran nung time na yon. And so David's prayers against his enemies came out sa context na ito. So sa panahon natin po, hindi na ho ganito ngayon. Okay? Hindi na po ang panahon ngayon, hindi na tayo namumuhay sa theocracy na kung saan God is the law of the land. Hindi na po. God has somehow situated people to represent Him. At may mga kanya-kanyang sovereignty na mga lugar ngayon, mga bansa. Bagamat ang dapat nating sundin ay hindi batas na ito, kung hindi yung batas, and here it comes, batas ni Kristo. Yun ang dapat gawin natin sa mga tao na kung saan pinipurso tayo at sinasaktan tayo. Ano ang batas ni Christ? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Ano ang law ni Christ? Law ni Christ, Mark 12, 30 to 31, back up ng 29, a lawyer asked Jesus Christ, "What is the greatest commandment out of the 300 plus?" Sagot ni Jesus Christ at 30, "Here's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Second greatest commandment, to love others as you love yourselves. The law of Jesus Christ. If you love God, you will love people. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love your enemies. Hindi po ba? This means as followers of Christ, we are to love and pray for our enemies. Kala ko, Pastor, makakaganti na ako. Kala ko, makakapray na ako. Hindi po. Yun na yung law ni Christ ngayon. Psalm 5 is not simply a psalm filled with David's own concerns. Hindi lang puro problema. Actually, yung psalm na to, towards the end, yung concern niya, hindi lang personal, kundi yung concern niya is sa mga tao rin niya. His concern extends to God's people sa kanyang harian. And that will be number 5 and last. David sings praises to God. "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Verse 12, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with your favor as with a shield." Ito ang concern ni David. Sa ibang translation, it would read this. David's concern is for the joy of God's people. That's why sa ibang translation, it says, "May they rejoice in you," verse 11. "May they sing for joy," verse 12. "May they exult in your name." May, that's his prayer. That's his prayer for his people. Why? When crisis comes, sometimes nakakalimutan na natin ng Panginoon, hindi ba? And sometimes, naiiba na ating landas. That's the beauty when God gives trials sa ating life. Nararate lang ating mga Diyos-Diyosan. Pag binigyan tayong problema, may problema, galit ako sa Panginoon. Yung pala, hindi pala ang Diyos ang ating Diyos. Ang Diyos pala natin, yung kinukuha ng Diyos. So, he is concerned about their hearts of worship. That's why hindi lang to personal prayer, it's a corporate prayer of praise. Na yung joy nila ay hindi nila makita sa mga bagay ng mundong ito kung hindi sa Diyos. Notice also the words of protection sa verse 11 and 12. Words which come to the righteous who are seeking refuge sa Panginoon. Verse 11 asks, may you shelter them. And verse 12 says, you surround him with your favor as with a shield. Perhaps this is the grounds ng kanilang joy. Though surrounded on all sides ng mga kaaway, David can rest joyfully in God's protecting hands. Mga kaibigan, di ko alam ang pinagdadaanan ninyo sa panahon na ito. Some of you I know. Most of you I don't. I don't know what sort of troubles are coming upon you this morning or this afternoon. Problema ba sa pamilya? Problema ba sa pera? Sa mga kaibigan? Problema sa identity? Perhaps you have some real enemies, pareho ni David, na gustong wasaking kayo. And it's hurting you, discouraging you, disheartening you. May I encourage all of us na in times like this, when trouble comes, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own ways. But instead, in times of trouble, be like David. Now, in times of trouble, he turns to God who listens and preserves the righteous. Yung main point na yun, I was trying to debate if I would use the word preserve or preserve or persevere. Kasi it still sounds right. In times of trouble, God's people should call out to God who listens to preserve them and to persevere them. Maybe your prayer is that the Lord would persevere you. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness, amen. We know that we are not deserving of your grace. But thank you, it's grace and not works, amen. It's your grace that reconciled us to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we pray, as we go back to the norm ng aming buhay, as we go back later sa bahay, preparing for work sa Sunday, I pray as we face itong challenges, trials, and hurts, help us to be people na kung saan hindi anxious and worrisome, but help us to be people who are trusting, people who run to you, people who will cry out to you, people who will trust you in your ways, people who will pray for the wicked that they would come to faith. And I pray at the end of the day, na kahit may kinaharap kaming challenges, help us to sing praises to you, O Lord and my God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.